Greater Sandton and beyond. Get ready for the Sandton Times Hour.
With your host,
Alexander.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between and beyond, this is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and as always available on all good podcast platforms. I'm Alexander Leibner and this is edition 117 and it's week 23 of 2023. And we're well into June, almost halfway through the year. I'm excited to be with you again this week. And if you'd like to send through your questions, your comments or your feedback, you can do so visiting email. If you've got an email, editor@sandtontimes.co.za. You can also visit social media at Sandton Times, or you can visit the website, www.sandtontimes.co.za. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 and not on the podcast, the WhatsApp line is open on 0848220938, 0848220938. A special welcome to everyone listening in Gauteng, across South Africa, or wherever else you find yourself in the world, online or on air. I'm happy to report that all is well in Sandton land. I'm joined once more by my man behind the mixing desk, Vincenzo, who'll be looking after us. And what a week it's been, Vincenzo. When I say all is well in Sandton land, well, let me quickly fill you in on what a week it's been. So, last week I told you about this busy week that we had planned ahead. And it all was very interesting, some great content I was going to share with you this week based on all the stuff we were going to do. Well, that all came to an abrupt halt when I headed to Sun City and had a very unfortunate accident on a Segway. And to give you a quick rundown, we had a whole itinerary planned. There was quad biking, there was archery, there was seeing some of the new rooms at Sun City, specifically the Palace of the Lost City. There's a whole bunch of new things happening at the resort. So I went out and literally put my body on the line here to get all these stories. And Tuesday morning, head out on a Segway tour. And part of the tour was, unfortunately, on a gravel road. And let's just put it this way, things got a little bit hairy when the Segway got caught in one of the rocks on the road and decided, well, this is where the trip ends. And I ended up coming off the Segway. The Segway went one way, I went the other way, and managed to severely injure my foot. Luckily, we'd gone through the whole exercise and did the x-rays, did the MRI. Nothing is broken, but it's just severely inflamed, twisted, swollen, the whole lot. And yeah, I'm here in a moon boot. I've got some crutches to keep me stable. I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to do this show this week because I've just been completely immobile. But you know what? For this audience, whatever the setback, we make it happen. We put the show together and we bring it to you every single week for an hour. So hopefully this week things will be back to normal. I've got a great doctor who's looking after me, and he'll make sure that we get back on our feet. But with that, everything else got cancelled for the week, including a very cool launch with Fly Safair and Suzuki. Shame they still sent me a very nice get well note and some of the stuff I missed out on, which was very sweet, and thank you to the teams there. Then also there was an opening of a new bar at the Four Seasons and a few other engagements that we're going to have to catch up on later this month as soon as I can sort of walk again properly and actually drive a car, which is another story. So this week we'll be revisiting some of the great interviews from the archive. So coming up on this week's show, I kick off with a chat to a well-known businessman who placed a fighter jet on the rooftop of a building in Sandton. Why, you ask? Well, stay listening. Then if you felt the economic crunch this year as the rand weakens and the interest rates increase, I chatted to an expert in the field of financial fitness, and I'll be bringing you that interview again because I think it's still so relevant in 2023. And finally, I wrap up a very interesting hour chatting about a billionaire mindset, revisiting another prosperous conversation I had. This and more coming up shortly, but let's get this week's show going with some music, and feel free to get up and dance or tap that foot. Don't mind me, I'll be here where you left me.
Show some love.
Subscribe. Share.
Leave a review and rating for the Sandton Times Hour
on your favorite podcast app now. The latest news.
The biggest names.
The best destinations.
The hottest entertainment. This is the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Rasputin, a decadent remix of that Boney M classic with Majestic. Taking us into the next hour, but it's first time for some headlines for the week. Well, some people were left high and dry this week. IOL reports that a Santon businessman had to fork out 5 million rand to settle his water and electricity bills following another surprise raid by the city of Joburg officials. This was the city disconnecting water supplies to 8 properties across both regions this past week, which collectively owed the city around 80.7 million on unpaid municipal services. The city's Buya Mteto operation, which compromises of credit management section, City Power, Joburg Water and JMPD, descended on the richest square mile in Africa, Santon, and cut off water supply to about 4 business properties, which owe the city a combined debt of about 43 million rand. Vincenzo, can you imagine whipping out 5 million rand at the drop of a hat to pay for bills? Well, there you have it. Then the Ford Ranger won the 2023 South Africa Car of the Year for the first time in 37 years of the history of this award, the South African Car of the Year. A leisure double cab 4x4 Bucky was crowned South Africa's Car of the Year, the Ford Ranger. Can you handle it? I mean, like, how popular is a Bucky in South Africa? And this is the first time there's one that's actually won a competition. Well, this year's South African Car of the Year competition was particularly exciting, with 21 finalists carefully selected from an impressive pool of 55 qualifying vehicles representing various fiercely contested categories. And what were the categories? Who were the winners? Well, let's have a quick look. Compact Family category winner was Bike Beijing X55, also one of the new Chinese brands. I've seen it on the road. Looks quite nice. Midsize category, Kia Sportage. And then also premium category was the Kia Sorento. So 2 wins there for Kia. Then adventure SUV category, Ford Everest. And then the double cab 4x4 category, Ford Ranger. So 2 wins for Ford. And then luxury category, Mercedes-Benz S-Class. I think you've driven that one, Vincenzo. I actually haven't driven many of these. I think the only one I've driven is the Ford Everest. All the other ones are work in progress. Performance category, Audi RS3. And then the new energy category was the Volvo XC40 P8 Recharge. So congratulations to all the winners and all the manufacturers on their success. Then there's 100 days to go to the Rugby World Cup in France. This past week they marked that. I know it's not quite a Santon story, but I know we've got the Springboks going and we're hoping for the very best. So 100 days to go to one of the most watched competition in the sport's history, the France 2023 Rugby World Cup. And the final preparations are underway. It's going to be the 200th birthday celebration for rugby this year as well, and it obviously promises to be a spectacular event. And 3 months to go, they've delivered the Webb Ellis Cup. It has been transferred. I see Tendai, the beast. He has delivered the trophy on behalf of South Africa to France, so that's in their hands now. And they had a spectacular light show at the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, and I'm sure there's more coming. Let's leave the headlines there for this week. If you've ever driven up Santon Drive and noticed a military jet parked on top of a building, I dive into the archives and bring you an interview I did with Zunaid Motti, sharing all the details and background of this feature on Santon Skyline, right after the break.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour. The best of talk and music in 1 hour. This is the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. Now, one of the most watched interviews on the Santon Times YouTube channel revolves around an aviation story. And it's a Dassault Mirage 3 on top of a building on Santon Drive, owned by the then chairman of the Motti Group, Zunaid Motti. In episode 41, back in 2021, I chatted to Zunaid about this interesting feature that now adds to Santon's very dynamic skyline. I started our conversation by asking him how the Dassault Mirage 3 got on top of a building on Santon Drive.
Well, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's very exciting. I'm very much into aviation and aircrafts and so on. As you quite correctly pointed out, the skyline is beautiful, but it's just become a little bit monotonous. And when you get past our building or drive past our building or even walk past, it must captivate you and sort of grab you. And I hope it's not going to cause a lot of accidents on Sandton Drive, because the other day I was driving and a few guys were just braking. And I was like, normally I would hoot, but now I just said, fine, take a nice breath and have a look at it. It's fantastic. It's very exciting.
Well, glad to hear that you're an aviation enthusiast, because I also have a little bit of a thing for planes. So let's get into this Mirage 3. Where did you find this Mirage 3 to start with?
Well, the Mirage 3 was, acquired by us from two companies. It took a little bit of time for us to be able to do that. Lots of compliance involved with acquiring the aircraft. You know, it's a military piece of equipment. It needed to be decommissioned. All the engine bits and needed to be removed, as well as the, I think it's an emergency evacuation for the pilot. That was quite interesting. When I was acquiring it, they said, do you want us to remove the emergency evacuation equipment for the pilot? I said, yeah, sure, man. I wouldn't want to be in there and have to press the wrong button and be flying all over Sandton, you know. So that took a lot of time. We acquired it with the authority of the government and the respective institutions in the government that require us to get permits and so on. It was very exciting because they were about to decommission these aircrafts, and they're beautiful. I mean, you can't imagine an aircraft so beautiful from the 1960s. Not much has changed. I mean, obviously technology has changed, but the aircraft looks phenomenal. I couldn't believe it was a 60s model aircraft, and it just looks very sexy and would look great in the skyline, and particularly on our new building, you know.
Well, it stands out. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, as you drive up that road, I mean, it's not something you would expect to see in Sandton. Do you have a little bit of service history of this plane? Do they come with sort of a bit of a logbook to tell you where it's been, what it's done?
Yeah, we're acquiring the balance of the information for it. And funny enough, I wanted to manufacture or produce a book about the aircraft's history and where it's been, etc. But I don't want to create difficulty around its history. You know, these aircrafts were used, obviously, in combat and so on. I don't want to get involved into much history there. I do think that the aircraft wasn't used a hell of a lot. However, it was maintained in South Africa, from what I understand. When we put the aircraft together, it took a lot of time and a lot of expertise from older gentlemen from the South African ex-National Defence Force. The guys spent so much quality time on it, and I must tell you, it wasn't a lot of money for the reestablishment of the aircraft. It's just the gentleman that worked on it, you know, from a past era, but very enthusiastic, right till the last bit when they put it onto the roof. Every little detail had to be right. It was just a very nice opportunity for us to get involved with those type of gentlemen, you know. And as soon as it was up, we had so many telephone calls from people who just wanted to have a look at it and come and embrace the situation. I mean, you go to towns like Dubai and all of these very important cities, you see all of these type of initiatives. In South Africa, it's not that expensive to do stuff like this, but it gives us an opportunity to reflect a little bit on the past and have these sexy items in our buildings, you know.
Tell us a little bit more about installing this plane on top of a building. I mean, I know what it's like trying to get your geyser replaced, but I mean, to have an entire plane, you know, planted on top of a building, and it has to also be positioned correctly. I mean, you can't just put it on top. It has to have a proper look. What was involved in that?
Well, I can tell you that there was a gentleman that works for me called Michael Langwa. Fantastic guy, but he's lost all his hair and grown a beard in the process because, you know, he in order to close that road down, it was such a big formality to bring those cranes in. And then you had to bring this aircraft in pieces, literally. You first put it together, it looks fantastic, and I say, let's move it. And they go, yes, let's break it up again, and let's take it where you're going to move it. And in addition to that, on the top of the building, such a lot of engineering had to go into it because it's quite a heavy aircraft. Thank God we didn't have to, and thank God we removed the engine of the aircraft, because that was, believe it or not, a few tons. So we're up to about 7 or 8 tons that we needed to lift up onto the building, leaving behind maybe about 8 or 9 tons. And originally when we were putting on the building, the engineer said to me, it's not a problem. When they learned that it was 15 or 16 tons complete, they said, hey, we need to back off from this particular initiative. And I said, no, let's remove the engines. He said, fine, let's remove all the other hard components in the aircraft and moving components. So we did so, and it was a mission, I won't lie to you, but thank God there was no accidents, or there was no anybody got injured or anything like that. We were in a position where I think we successfully done it. It took a lot of money, a lot of time. Getting those cranes, the gentleman who gave us those cranes and hired them to us, just phenomenal. But I'm very happy with the end product, and I'm sure I don't know if you've seen it yourself. You said you have. It is quite striking. We're going to obviously give it a nice polish. It needs a bit of a polish because it is about a little older than me, which is quite old now. And we're going to need to do some work on the outside, which we'll do, and we'll give it a bit of treatment. And in another 4 weeks, you'll see something else on the roof there.
Well, if memory serves me correctly, I know you've got a history in terms of business in the finance space, also in the property space. Now, seeing this plane on top of this building, I mean, the first thing you think, you know, there's a museum opening or there's something to do with aircraft or aircraft furniture. What exactly are you going to be putting into the actual building?
Well, in the building, you know, with this COVID that's come along, I wasn't prepared to complete that building this year or next year, but with COVID that came along gave us an opportunity to rethink what we want to do on that site. And we implemented it because a lot of people, now that this COVID has affected our lives, don't go to work. You know, my staff stay at home. It's been a year almost that people are coming and going into their buildings. No one's sort of, no one's working together as a team anymore. We're on computer and we're on this type of things that we're discussing right now. There's not a human interface anymore, and you cannot do much. And I really strongly believe that we still need to be in front of each other, feeling each other, connecting with each other and so on. And I did this development because I do want our customers, and more particularly my staff and our business partners, to be in a hub where it's exciting. We can still do deals. We can see good looking cars, some expensive watches, art, the plane, some lunch. I want all of that back. I'm missing my life somewhat, you know. I sit at home and my wife's a fantastic lady, but geez, I've spent so much time with her now. I really want to go to work and I want to sort of do stuff like I used to a year ago. So this is the first step for us. And I hope other companies are going to invest into activities within their business and office environment so that those ivory towers in Sandton can now become something that they use and people can go and have lunch and take their children. I want all of that back. You know, that's the reason I decided to speed this process up and get this initiative going. And I hope by the third quarter of this year, we'll be having lunch and add a little bit of a dimension to it.
So this lifestyle emporium that you've set up now, is this open to the public? Is it just for your, is it like your private office space? How does that work?
Yeah, it's more of a private office space. It's a little bit large. You know, it's a, you know, people say to me, Zanette, why would you spend so much money in doing this type of, as you say, emporium? And the reason is because when you come to see me, I want it to be an experience. I want it to be something special. I want you to come and look at a Bugatti in front of my office. I want you to be able to go to different offices at different levels, have meetings, and have a sense of adventure. So the rationale behind it is the vehicles go to all floors, believe it or not. In the facility, we have got a lift that when you're having lunch on top and somebody wants to have a look and possibly even purchase, let's say, a Pagani, we can send it from the basement all the way up while you're having lunch and you can have a look at it and it can be in front of you, or you can get it right in an office. It's a bit extreme. I do understand that, but I mean, that's who I am. I like doing things off the wall. Excuse the pun there. And the issue was we wanted something different for the people that we invested with and that invest with us. Yes, on the finance side, we're going to come up with a fantastic new product. As you knew, I was the developer of a product called FutureFin many years ago. I think you were probably at grade school or high school from what I can see right now.
Thank you. It's all the cream, the anti-aging cream that's serving me well.
And it was fantastic, and I've come up with something new. I'm going to launch it in the third quarter of this year with the show, with the Emporium and with the offering in the Emporium, so that when you come in, the idea behind coming to the Emporium is to come and look at a vehicle and not necessarily want to buy it, but just have a look and experience it. But if you do, we want to tailor-make the finance for you. And lastly, you asked, what is what's going to be in the Emporium? I mean, it's going to be lots of art. I love art. Lots of different types of paintings, lots of expensive paintings, some expensive watches, definitely motor vehicles. You can hire aircrafts in there. You can maybe even purchase aircrafts and helicopters in there. We are in the aviation business as well, not of buying and selling aircrafts, but obviously renting aircrafts and so on. So you could come in there, have a bit of lunch with us as a business partner, buy something from us, or just come and have the experience. You know, there's a school next door as an example. When we were putting the plane up, these beautiful children came along because they were so excited. It's unbelievable. I thought I was the only kid, age 40-something, but I mean, I was surrounded by lovely 8 and 7-year-olds, and they were so happy, And it just, it's so innovative because the facility is also going to be home to a new concept, which I'm bringing back into South Africa, the concept of listening to the youth. And the listening to the youth concept is listening to young entrepreneurs. All CEOs in this country have become little gods in their listed company environments. And because they have big balance sheets, you can't get a hold of them. So if you want to speak to someone important in a listed company, you've got to go through the, I don't know how many people. And then you get a meeting in 2025, and you've obviously already 25 years or 26 years old. But I want to give the young youth an opportunity to be able to come to the facility by appointment and tell me about what their ideas are and what their novel concepts are, what new technologies they have, and listen to it and possibly invest in it with partners. And we're going to put up a website that allows these young people to give us new ideas and innovative ideas so that we can harvest and develop young Black entrepreneurs, and not only Black entrepreneurs, but all entrepreneurs. I think that South Africa has a huge amount of talent. I just think that us, and I want to call myself old, but older guys, we just need to take a seat and listen sometimes and give them the opportunity to share with us their views and their innovation. They're a different generation. I mean, I don't even understand my children nowadays. So I'm eager to work with young people. I'm not as sharp as I was 20 years ago, but experience hopefully is a little bit better than always being just sharp. And I want to work with young people and understand them. Recently, I've done a couple of deals with some very young people, and it's going to make a lot of money, and I was so happy about it. So the facility is also representing, the aircraft for me is representing innovation, speed, and accuracy, and a bit of old school. You know, I'm still a bit old school.
That was Zunaid Motti talking about the Dassault Mirage 3 parked on top of a building on the Sandton Drive in Sandton. It's the bottom of the hour, time for a bit of music and more of the Sandton Times Hour right after this.
Back for more?
The Sandton Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Becky Hill and another take on Heaven. Taking you into the second half of the Sandton Times Hour, my name is Alexander Leipner, and you know how this works. If you listen regularly, if there's anything that sounded good during the show but you didn't manage to get all the details, be sure to visit the show notes on www.sandtontimes.co.za for a detailed breakdown of everything discussed on this week's edition. Also, be sure to check out the social media accounts at Sandton Times. Feel free to follow those and also engage. Send comments and tweets and DMs, voice notes, whatever works for you, and you can also use the hashtag Sandton Times Hour. In episode 57, back in 2021, I spoke to Joe Camino, who's a corporate solutions director at Financial Fitness Training. With the recent increase in interest rates, I thought it would be a great opportunity to revisit this interview, and I started our conversation by asking him what the state of South Africans' financial situation was like, and it sounds like not much has changed in 2023.
Well, being an American that's been living here for 25 years, I will use a local phrase, ish.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Yeah. Lot of problems out there. A lot of people struggling. That's what's going on. You know, with the COVID, we've got 2 to 3 million newly unemployed people. And some of them have home bonds. Now, if they're married and your spouse gets unemployed, a lot of times we see you've got a home bond, you've got two car loans, two sets of credit card debts, two sets of store accounts. Now you're down to one income. Now you're really struggling. They were on edge already. I mean, the average South African was spending, I think it's 75% of their take-home pay on debt. That's already overboard, is really what that is. So this just is a coffin knell. You know, and they're struggling so hard, and my heart goes out to them. And you see it in the news. You see debt counseling, debt restructuring, amnesty. You know, they want to sell you all these programs to teach you how to get out of debt and everything. But with you today, I'm going to teach you guys some things that you can do immediately that you need to do. You know, a lot of places, and I read a lot of newspapers and financials, they tell you a lot of things that are nice to know, things that are good to know. I'm going to teach you things that you need to know.
Well, Joe, I'm looking forward to hearing that, but I want us to frame this conversation and maybe just give us a little bit of context as to what financial fitness training does in the market.
Okay. We've been in business about 25 years now, and we train corporations and individuals, but mainly corporations, government as well. I mean, we've trained from the Treasury to the Reserve Bank to the Central Bank of Lesotho. We go in and we teach the employees how to become debt-free, how to quit overpaying on insurances and buying poor investments that really cost you money in the long term. And that's the big problem. You know, people think you can just get out of debt by getting out of debt. Well, it's a two-prong process. The second part of the prong is very important. For example, when you look at life insurance policies and funeral policies and savings policies and retirement annuities, all these things go up at about 10% a year. Well, most people don't really even get a raise. And if you get a raise, you get a 2 or 3, maybe 4% raise. So you got 4% coming in, you got 10% going out. And on a lot of these things, Alexander, you shouldn't be raising your payment every year. A good example is car insurance. Everybody's car insurance premium goes up every year, but the car gets older. So what people do is they call their current insurer and say, hey, it should come down. And they hear this standard, no, spares are more expensive. And if we have to replace your vehicle, have you seen the price of new cars? Ah, they're not giving you a new car. They're giving you the price for the old one you have. So what I would recommend to all the listeners here today is call, get 3 different quotes. Do not tell them what you're paying. That's the key. Do not tell them what you're paying. Then take the lowest quote, call your current insurer back. Tell them, match it, or you're thinking about switching. Because if you do not get in an accident, you're what's called a cash cow. You send them money every month. What do they really give you? Nothing. Do they want to lose a cash cow? Probably not. I saved a guy last week 700 rand a month on his car insurance. We don't sell insurance, you know. We teach people how to fix everything for themselves. So by fixing where you're sending your money, it helps to alleviate your debt position, because what they do with a lot of people, especially the youngsters, as soon as they come into the marketplace, the insurance brokers, and I always like to use the word brokers, because I always ask people, how many of you are getting ahead financially? And almost nobody raises their hands. I go, but you all got brokers, you know?
Yeah.
So the kids come into the market, and the first thing they're sold is life insurance and a retirement annuity. And you probably don't need the life cover because you're going to live. I mean, if you're married and have children, yes, you need life cover. If you have a home bond, yes, you need life cover. But when you're starting out, you probably don't need it. Then they sell you a retirement annuity so you can save on tax. In essence, what you're doing is you're putting your money away till you're 55, 60, 65. In the meantime, you've got marriage maybe coming up, children coming up, house bond payments, car payments, education payments, and you're putting your money away till you're 55, 60, 65. It's good to have a retirement program, but with most companies, they offer a retirement program, and a lot of them match you. So if you put in 1,000 Rand, they put in 1,000 Rand. That's awesome. That's 100% interest per month, just on the match.
Yep.
And if you look at these other retirement annuities out there with the big companies, look what's going on with the market for the last 10 years. It's been pretty flat. They're really not making any money. And in the meantime, they're paying huge amounts of interest. You know, I like to use this example here. If you get a 1 million rand home bond, your bond payment's going to be about 8,500 a month. Well, the first 5 years is almost all interest. So when you're trying to pay off this home bond, somebody comes and sells you some sort of a savings program, some sort of an investment. You are paying 8,500 rand a month in interest. How much are you making your first month, your first year, your first 5 years? You're not even making 8,500 in 5 years. But you're paying that to the bank every month. So in most cases, getting out of debt is your best investment.
Yeah, because it's costing you so much. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so interesting just to touch on what you said about the car insurance. I remember getting a phone call somewhere in the middle of 2020 last year, and it was the insurance company saying, listen, you know, it's time for an increase, or we need to review your policy or whatever it was. And I said to the guy, look, let's be honest here. This car hasn't gone anywhere. The house hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, The car's been locked up for almost 6 months or 8 months. I've been at home the whole time, so you've got the most expensive security guard watching the house. You've had absolutely no risk as an insurance company to any of these assets. In fact, you should be giving me a refund for 2020 because you've basically just been getting my money and there's been absolutely no risk to you. I mean, I understand if the car's moving around or, you know, if I'm away for 6 months and something could happen, yeah, sure. But we've been in lockdown. Like, not even the criminals were allowed to go out and do anything. So, I mean, and you managed to arm wrestle them, but most people are not willing to have that conversation. They just go, yeah, cool, yeah, whatever it is, 6%, 10% increase, and they just go with it. And suddenly this thing is just like a runaway train.
Well, you just got to remember that, you know, when you first start out, when you're paying, let's say, 1,000 rand a month as a youngster for life, I mean, for car insurance, that 10% next year means it's 1,100 a month. But, you know, once you start adding that 10% in as you go along, that those increases become significant.
Yeah.
They become significant. And it's not only on your, like we mentioned, it's not only on your car insurance, it's on your life cover, it's on your funeral cover, it's on your endowment, it's on your retirement, you know what I mean? So it actually destructs what extra spendable money you may have, and you just keep paying all the bills and living on what's left.
Yeah, yeah.
So the key, and just one last thing I want to reiterate, call, get three different quotes. Do not tell them what you're paying. Take the lowest quote, call your current guy back and say, match it or I'm going to switch. They'll put you on hold for 5 minutes and then come back with great news because you've educated yourself, you see.
That was Joe Camino, Corporate Solutions Director at Financial Fitness Training back in 2021, talking about the state of South Africans' financial situation with some really good tips there. And like I said, not much seems to have changed in the last 2 years. Time for some music, and I'll be right back after this.
The best of Santon and beyond.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
You are listening to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Designer and Champagne by MBP. Now, businessman Daniel Strauss, husband to Dr. Rolene Strauss, released a new book of late called The Billionaire Career, which looks at the transition from employee to successful entrepreneur. And this reminded me of an interview I did with Daniel back in 2021 in episode 42, where we chatted about his first book called Billionaire Mindset.
As the title says, it's actually more of a mindset book than a business book, but it does have a lot of business aspects to it as well. So it's about how do you get to think more like a billionaire? Because they say success is not to be pursued, it's to be attracted by the person you become. So you have to become that person first for the success to come to you.
And mindset is such an important thing. I mean, we can't discount that at all because it really all starts with your belief. If you believe you can do it and you've got the right attitude, you can get there, right, Daniel?
Yeah, definitely. So we talk about in the book about a new concept that I call thinking above the line. It is essentially thinking like a shareholder and a director as opposed to thinking like a manager and employee in a business. To shareholders and directors, everything is possible, but to the managers and the employees, only the budget is possible.
It's such an interesting point you raise that. I mean, for many of us who have worked in corporate, it's amazing how once you start spending a lot of time with people who have founded the business, who have run the business, you start seeing how they start looking at things very differently to those who work in the business. And also just to clarify from the onset is that a billionaire mindset isn't to marry a billionaire. Is that correct? This is about creating your own billions.
Yeah. I think there's different ways, but it's definitely not about how to find a rich spouse.
All right, brilliant. Well, Daniel, tell us about what brought you about to write a book. I mean, you're a busy guy. You're involved in so many big things in terms of finance, in terms of business. I mean, to find the time to write a book, it's quite a commitment.
Yeah, so what I do is I work in the venture capital industry, and what I've found is that South African entrepreneurs in their way of thinking and also certain funders' way of thinking are between 20 and 30 years behind the rest of the world. We will have to change that way of thinking before we will be able to grow the economy. So it actually came out of a real need that I saw in the market for these entrepreneurs and for funders to start thinking differently about how to fund and how to grow companies.
And how long has it taken you to write this book? I mean, it's quite a bit of knowledge that's had to go in here. I mean, I suppose some of it's been information that you've come across in your daily work. But what's the timelines been like on this book?
To be honest, I started about 4 years ago. It was slow because I was quite busy. And then at some point, I just really started to focus. I wrote about 5 chapters, took it to the publisher, and they said, no, they don't like my style of writing, and they're not going to publish it. So that was a new process that started. So I got a writing consultant. I sat together with the guys for a very long time. And to be honest, I'm quite proud of the product now.
Sure, that sounds like quite an exercise. You never think that you could get a writing consultant, but obviously they did their job. The book is looking fantastic. I mean, the cover looks great. I'd be interested to hear from you, because especially at this time, we've seen so many people who've either been retrenched, who've been forced out of their business because things have just fallen apart. And instead of going back into employment, a lot of people will say, look, you know what, let me become an entrepreneur. Let me try and do something for myself. What do you think is the biggest hurdle a lot of those entrepreneurs are facing? I mean, even before COVID, we've had a lot of entrepreneurs who faced very difficult hurdles that they've had to get over.
Yeah, I think number one is the mindset of just realizing that it is actually possible. And then secondly, I think funding is a very big hurdle at the moment, because you can't go to a bank to fund a business. They are just not made for funding businesses. Due to certain regulations that changed, you cannot go to the bank to fund your business. So they'll have to find different ways of looking for funding.
And where does that funding come from? Because if we look at, you know, venture capital around the world, I find that Europe, the US is a little bit more, they're more willing to part with their money. I mean, still educated decisions, but they're more open to investing in new ideas than possibly a lot of South African businesses, where it has to be almost like a 90%, 100% hit before they put their money on the table.
Traditionally, there hasn't been a lot of capital in the South African venture capital market. I think at the moment, I'm in the industry every day, there's never, ever been this much capital available in the venture capital market. In those developed economies also, there is much more capital available. There's more patient funders available. So yes, they are more open to taking more risks, but South Africa is certainly getting there. If you look at where the venture capital industry was 10 years ago as to where it is now, it has already grown significantly.
Why start with a billionaire mindset? A lot of people might say, listen, I'm just trying to make my first million, my first few hundred thousand. Why settle for a billionaire?
So I had a Chinese mentor who taught me everything I know about venture capital. And he always said, how do you become a billionaire? Create a lot of millionaires. So that's where the mindset comes from. So it's actually, the book is all about how can we as entrepreneurs help each other and create a lot of millionaires. And if you create enough millionaires through the correct structures, you will become a billionaire. That's how it works.
That was businessman Daniel Strauss talking about his first book, Billionaire Mindset. And do go check out his latest book, The Billionaire Career, which is now available online and in all good bookstores. I hope you enjoyed the last hour, and thank you to all of those sending through well wishes on the WhatsApp line. I really do appreciate it. And we managed to get through the hour with one leg or one foot, however you like it. And I look forward to being back on my foot or feet this coming week and going back to some sort of normality. That's it for another Santa Times Hour on Mix 93.8, and as always available on podcasts on Apple, Google, and Spotify. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@santontimes.co.za or visit the social media accounts @santontimes, or go onto the website santontimes.co.za, and feel free to send through your comments, your questions, your ideas, your suggestions. Anything that you think might be interesting for the hour, all is welcome. Vincenzo, thank you once again for all your help this week, and I promise no more Segway tours. I really do. And thank you to the Santon Times team, as well as everyone at Mix 93.8. And of course to you, thank you for listening, and let's connect again next week.
That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the Santon Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.